We come to the last section of the Old Testament prophet Malachi this evening, which you'll find on page 962 of the church Bibles. If you need a Bible, please put a hand in the air and a steward will gladly bring you one. We pick up our reading today at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, just by way of explanation, because we start on the word then, which kind of gives the impression, doesn't it, that we've kind of intruded, we're halfway through something. But that then gives a sense of time. And what has happened before the bit we read tonight is that the Lord has delivered a series of kind of weighty messages to his people. So he's delivered those messages, then this happens. Okay, so let's read from chapter 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. This is the word of the Lord. Please open your Bibles again to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. We'll be referring to it lots, so it'll be very helpful to have it in front of you. And with those words open in front of us, let's pray and ask for God's help. We read the commands in your words that if today we hear your voice, we must not harden our hearts. And Father, we ask, please, that today you would keep us from hard hearts as we listen to your words. Please, may your Spirit work in us hearts that receive your words, that fear you and respond. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In a room this size, there are going to be lots of things that divide us. So there's the well-worn example, but if I was to put a plate of Marmite sandwiches here, there'd be plenty of us who would go for them, and there'd be plenty of us who wouldn't. There would be a distinction. There would be a divide between us. And there are loads of things that would do that, isn't there? Football or no football, kind of rock music or no rock music, kind of fish and chips or no fish and chips. There'd be lots of ways that we could divide a room like this and create a distinction in a group of people. But I want to show you one thing that will definitely divide us. Okay, you ready? It's this. It's an alarm clock. Now, let me explain what I mean, okay? An alarm clock is a wake-up call. It goes, this one's particularly annoying. Actually, this is Jesse's one. But it goes, it's the most annoying sound you can imagine. Now, we will respond. When you get a wake-up call like that, each of us will respond in a different way. There'll be those of us in this room who go, And we get all grumpy with the alarm clock and we turn over and we hit this big button on the top and we say, you give me 5 more minutes. We get attitude with the alarm clock. It divides us. And there'll be those of us who are on the other side who hear the alarm. We spring out of bed, as we, you know, some of us do, and we'll get on with the day. A wake-up call, a kind of a message from an alarm clock, will divide us. It will make a distinction between us, the way we respond to the wake-up call of an alarm clock. Now, what am I going on about an alarm clock for? Well, before you think I'm clinically insane, actually, can I tell you that Malachi is a wake-up call? And there is nothing that will divide us more than the way we respond to a wake-up call from God. It will divide us. It will make a distinction between those who fear God and those who don't. It will make a distinction between those who serve God and those who don't. And ultimately, the way we respond to the wake-up call of God will divide us forever. It's a division that actually we're witnessing in this very last section of Malachi this evening. It's what the Lord is talking about as he comes to his people in this final section and he speaks to them. And what I want you to notice again tonight is that he's not talking about a divide, a distinction between the church and the world. Actually, he's addressing his people. And as he addresses his people, he says, look, there will be a distinction, there will be a division in the way that you, my people, respond to my wake-up call, to the buzzing of an alarm clock that is meant to call for action. There will be a distinction in the way that we hear this message. And our passage tonight, this part of Malachi, shows us that there are 2 days when this distinction will be seen. First of all, there is today. Today is a day of distinction, a day of dividing, a day of separating out. And then there's the last day. The last day when our Lord and our God returns to judge the world. There are 2 days of distinction when the distinction between those who fear God and those who don't, those who serve him and those who don't, will be seen clearly. And these 2 days are intimately linked. That's what this section of Malachi is really getting at. That these 2 days, that today and the last day, are intimately connected, because how we respond to the Lord's wake-up call today will determine how he responds to us on that last day. Or to use some language that we're going to discover in a minute, remember the Lord today and he will remember you on the last day. And so what we want to do this evening, or what I want to do, is take us through these 2 days and then take us through the final words of the Lord's. First of all, today. Today, how will we respond to the Lord's? Look with me at verse 16 of chapter 3. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Now, you're meant to sit up and listen at this point in the book of Malachi. If you've been with us on Sunday evenings, this is a real change in the book. Because suddenly, we are introduced to a group of people who we're told fear the Lord. Now, that means that this is a group of people who've got the Lord in his right place. He is the one who is in charge, who is creator, and they look to him in that sort of way. He is the Lord who has loved them and has chosen them to be his people. And the group who fear the Lord are saying, that is your right place, and we love you, and we want to listen to you. This is a group of people who, when the Lord sends a warning message, a weighty message, they know he means business. They don't just kind of dismiss it. This is a group of people who know when the Lord speaks, they should listen. That's what it means to fear the Lord. They've got him in his right place. And as they hear these warnings that we've been listening to over the last weeks together, here is a group of people who sit up and listen. Over and over again in the book of Malachi, we've been meeting a group of people who are arguing with the Lord. Every time he speaks to them, they answer him back. How do we do that? Why do you say we do that? Prove to us you do that. Here is a group of people who, rather than talking against the Lord, they start to talk for the Lord. Now, what does it mean that they talk together? Have a look again at verse 16. Those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Right, can I tell you what it's not? Okay, so some of us here, I know, are anti-sport and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not a particularly big sports watcher. But I know that any time you watch a sports game, there's a kind of almost a compulsory conversation that has to take place after a sports match, where everyone kind of watches the game and then they all sit around and they talk about it. Well, you know, if he'd have spent 10 million more on another player, you know, we wouldn't have lost the game today. Or, you know, if I'd have played this player on the wing over here and this one, then it would have been all right. And there's a whole load of chat that goes on after a sports game, but it's chat that goes nowhere because it doesn't lead to any action. It's just kind of post-match analysis. You're talking away. Now, that is not the sort of talking that is going on in verse 16. It's not like the boys gathered together after church and said, Malachi, that was a great sermon. Did you like that? Yeah, I like that bit we said about, you know, oh yeah, the unfaithfulness thing. Yeah, we should do something about that. Great. Well, I'll see you next week then. And off they go. It's not that kind of talking. This is the talking that leads to action. This is a talking where they respond to what the Lord has been showing them. They recognize that the Creator, the Lord, the one who's loved them, has given them a weighty message. And so they talk with one another about it. Now, I'd love to have been in the room. I'd love to have been in the room when they started talking. Malachi's finished preaching to them. Malachi has delivered this message from the Lord. And I'd love to know what they said. But as I've chewed it over this week, it had to start somewhere, didn't it, this conversation with recognizing they've done something wrong. It had to start with a kind of a chat. Well, you know, the Lord has put this across to us. And it has to start with recognizing and identifying sin and naming and shaming it and saying, do you know what? And as they were talking, do you know what? That sin about unfaithfulness, you know, actually, that is me. That sin, you know, I didn't bring my whole tithe in the other week. I kept some back because, you know, I didn't really trust that God would provide for us. Talking has to start, doesn't it, with recognizing that we're sinners. And then talking, they may have sort of stumbled onto, well, what doesn't the Lord say back in the book of Leviticus that this is what we should be doing? And so they recall and they remind one another of what the Lord has spoken. And they engage with that and they say, well, the Lord says this, so maybe we should be changing our ways and doing this, changing into people who are returning to the Lord. They would have been recognizing, they would have been recalling the law, they would have been repenting. Maybe their talking involves some praying. Maybe it involves some saying, we've really got to say sorry to the Lord about this. We really need to throw ourselves on his mercy, on his help. And there must have been talk of returning. Plans to put in place to change the things that were wrong. This isn't post-match analysis that goes nowhere. This is talk that leads to action. And the first place that division is seen is on today. The day that you hear the word of the Lord, you hear his weighty message, and you respond or choose not to respond. That is the first day that division is seen. Now, our today, this day, today, is different to their today when they heard the sermon. But actually, it's exactly the same. How we respond today matters. And how we respond will cause a distinction, a division amongst the people who hear the message. How do I respond today to the weighty message of the Lord? You may not have been here for the whole Malachi series, but I was really challenged this week, and I've probably spent more time in the book of Malachi than you guys have, but I had to ask myself the honest question, how have I responded to what the Lord has been teaching me through this book of Malachi? We've heard week after week of the Lord putting his finger on sins. How have I responded to what the Lord has shown me? The alarm's been buzzing. Did I roll over and hit the snooze button, or did I respond? Did I get out of bed? It's a day of distinction. Today is a day of distinction by how we respond to what the Lord is showing us. And the joy of this passage is that the Lord gives us one another. Johnny said at the start, we need one another. We need one another because that, you know, they talk together. It was their talking with one another that was God's means of grace to helping them return to Him. You're not on your own. We're together as a group of Christians to talk with one another to return to Him. And I want to blow you away for a second. It's not me, but what's here. I want this to blow you away because look what happens. Look what happens today when the people who fear Him respond to His message. Look at verse 16, the tail end of verse 16. It says, "And the Lord listened, and the Lord heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasure possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who don't." The Lord listens. Did you know that when we have our conversations after church, the Lord is part of the conversation. It says in the book of Philippians, the Lord is near. And that means that as those who fear the Lord respond by talking with one another, by responding to the message they've heard, the Lord is party to that conversation. He's listening. He's hearing everything we're saying. He sees us responding. He sees us grappling with this message that He's given us. And He hears. And He's listening in. And He doesn't just listen, He remembers. Look at the verse. He doesn't just listen into the conversation, but He then remembers those who fear Him. He writes their names down, our names down, on a scroll of remembrance. "Here is a group of people who fear me," He says, "and I will remember them." Writing their names down is a mark of permanence. It's a mark of assurance. The Lord knows those who are His. And as we fear Him, as we respond to Him by talking with one another, a mark of those who truly belong to the Lord, He remembers us. And He makes a promise. It's a today promise. It's the one He says right now for those who respond to Him. He says, look carefully, He says the Lord promises to spare those who are His and make them His treasured possession. My daughter TJ has this really funny habit at the moment. It's very interesting watching kids grow up. But she, when she wakes up in the morning, one of the first things she does at the moment is she gathers together things. Like her things. So it's a bit odd, but she kind of wakes up and then, you know, kind of rubs her eyes and then starts gathering stuff that's hers. And she has this collection during the day of her treasured possessions. And it's very odd. So wherever she goes, she has this bundle of stuff, her treasured possessions. So it could be a dolly and a bag and a teddy and a book. And they're hers. And whenever she moves from place to place, she gathers them up and she takes them with her because they're hers. They're her treasured possessions. And you try and touch one, and boy, you'll be in trouble. Because they're hers. They're her treasured possessions. And it's that kind of picture that's a flawed example, and you'll see why in a minute. But actually, it's that kind of picture that we're being painted here about what the Lord is saying over those who respond to Him. He says they are His. It's like He stamps His name on them. It's like He puts in school uniforms, we have to put kind of a little name tag so that it doesn't get lost. And it's that kind of idea. They will be mine. He puts a name tag on us because we are His. When we respond, when we show that we're His by responding, He labels us. And there is a day coming when the Lord will gather His people, those who are His. It's a promised day. You see that? I will gather them. In the day when I make up my treasure possession, he's going to do a TJ, and he is going to gather his precious treasured things to himself. And what are those precious treasure things? It's us. It's us who are trusting in the Lord Jesus. It's us who hear his warnings and respond to him. He will gather us. Now please, just pause on that title for a second, because this should blow us away. It has blown me away this week that the Lord, who I have turned from, who I have drifted from, who I sin against regularly, would call me his treasured possession. That is mind-blowing. But those that he loves and has chosen and has saved through his Son, Jesus Christ, are his treasured possession. And just like my TJ gathers up her bits, there is a day coming when the Lord will gather his treasured possession and he says, they're mine. They're mine. And I love them and I'm holding on to them and they're going to be mine forever and ever. There is a day of distinction today between those who respond to the Lord's message and those who don't. Between those who fear him and those who argue with him. And the Lord listens. The Lord remembers. And today, the Lord makes a promise that for those who do that, he will spare them. And he will make them part of his treasured possession. And that is exactly what he does today for those of us who are trusting in the Lord Jesus. This first day of division is today, but there is another day of division. And the reason that today is so important is because of the day that's coming. And that is the last day. I'm not a teacher. Well, I am of sorts, but I'm not a school teacher. But I'm on a governing body of my kids' school. And recently we had our Ofsted checks. And one of the things is this body that kind of does a surprise visit on the school. And they kind of check your school for whether it's good or outstanding or dodgy or whatever they call it. And the thing is, you know it's coming, but you don't know exactly when. That's the really odd thing about it. So there's kind of this state of anxiety in the school as, you know, the inspectors are coming. And then suddenly, boom, one day they turn up. And you know they're coming, and you've got to be ready for its coming. And that's the sense of this last day that is being talked about here. Just look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Surely the day is coming. Now, the word surely, when it's used in the Bible, isn't questioning, it's certainty. So surely, absolutely certainly, there is a day coming when the Lord will make this final distinction. And that's this day being talked about here. It's a day when there will be no chance for change. It's a day when the question switches from how will I respond to the Lord to really how will the Lord respond to me? Because there is no chance of change after this day. It's a day when the Lord will answer the accusations of his people. He will answer those accusations where his people have been questioning him and saying, well, where is this God of justice? We call the arrogant blessed, and everyone who does stuff against God, well, they just seem to get away with it. Well, this last day that's coming, a day that the Bible promises, is a day where that distinction will be seen and God will be seen to be just. It's a day that is the end of the road for those who live their lives turned away from the Lord. For all those who stay turned away, it is a day of consuming fire. It's not an easy day to talk about. And even as I've prepped it this week, I became a Christian because somebody told me about this day coming. And I remember the fear it put through me. And so I don't talk about it lightly. But just look at the imagery that is described on this day. It says it is a day that will burn like a furnace. It's a day of stripping back. It's a day of destruction. It is a day when not a branch will be left to those who have set themselves up against God or who have stayed turned away from God. It's picture language here of it being the end of the road for wickedness, the end of the road for those who have turned away from the Lord and stay there. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, does this then contradict kind of what we believe about eternal punishment? Well, it doesn't in any way, because it seems to be like total destruction here. But actually, this is just picture language. Jesus says with no doubt that the day of judgment and our punishment will be eternal. A crime against an eternal God requires an eternal punishment. It's a punishment that fits the crime. But sometimes the last day is described in language that draws out different parts of the last day. And here the language is describing that all these arrogant people who seem to have got away with it, it's a day of describing it as no more. It's an end to their arrogance. But there is eternal punishment that follows. The seemingly prosperous people are shown for what they are, a day we all rightly deserve because of our hearts and the way that we've wandered from God. But just as it's a day of distinction in that those who are wicked will be punished finally and permanently, actually it's a day of distinction because of verse 2. Have a look at these wonderful words. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. For those whose names are written in the scroll of remembrance, for those of us trusting in the Lord Jesus, this final day, this last day, is a day of healing. It's a day of healing in its fullest sense. It's a day when everything that is broken is made right. Everything physical, everything spiritual, our hearts. It's a day of complete healing, of complete restoration. It's healing in its fullest sense. It's a day that's pictured of new life. Look at this, calves leaping from stalls. You know, I don't literally think we're going to see calves leaping around. Well, we might not, but it's the picture language of saying it's new life. It's full of joy. It's full of life and hope. And there'll be springs in the step, as it were, because of this day that's coming. The New Testament tells us it's a day where the Lord will say over his people, they will be my people and I will be their God. It's a day when that relationship is put back together, a relationship that, as we've seen from the book of Malachi, is going so badly wrong. And the question about this day is not how will I respond to the Lord, but how will he respond to me? That's what makes today so important. To use the language of the scroll in this passage, the Lord will remember and he will gather and he will spare those whom have remembered him. It is those who have feared him and thrown themselves on his character and on his mercy and on his gift of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. It is those who have believed and obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand in a very different place to the people of Malachi's day. But the New Testament is very clear that we will be judged on what we've done with the gospel of his Son. How will the Lord respond to me on that last day? And so there are two days of distinction, today and the last day. So where does that leave us, having listened to the book of Malachi? Where does that leave us this evening as we've come to the end of this book? And I want to suggest that we don't have to kind of guess ourselves, because there's some final words from the Lord. It's a final message. And can I take you something that struck me this week that really grabbed me? Is actually, these are the final words of the Lord for nearly 400 years, it's believed, before he sent John the Baptist and before he sent the Lord Jesus. These are his final words. And in many ways, as I've reflected on these final words, they're actually Jesus' final words to us until he comes back again. And here is what his final words to his people are as we come to the end of the book of Malachi. He says, first of all, remember the decrees of the Lord. Have a look with me at verse 4. It's the only instruction in this section, and it says, remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb, for all Israel. The word to remember doesn't mean kind of forgetfulness. So I forget birthdays, and I'm very bad at that. But it's not that kind of remembering, you know, I need to remember their birthdays. Actually, this is remembering. It's different. In the Bible, it means bringing something to mind in order to deliberately do something about it, to deliberately act. And the Lord is telling his people, deliberately bring to mind the things I've told you. Deliberately bring to mind the way I've told you to live. Deliberately bring to mind my instructions for you. And actually, this is really a call to return to him. It's not just God saying, come on, guys, pick up the game. Let's get back to the rules. Actually, this is the Lord saying, return to me, because the Lord and his words are intimately connected. You can't separate them. And as we return to the Lord's words, we're returning to him. And what about us then as followers of Jesus? You know, verse 4, remember the law. Well, aren't we people under grace and not under law? Doesn't the law kind of get left behind? Well, no, actually, every time we drift from the word of the Lord, we're drifting from him. Every time we drift from what he's revealed to us, whether Old Testament or New Testament, actually we're drifting from him. Our relationship is moving away. It's an indication that our hearts are turned. And so the instruction here to remember the law could rightly be put, well, remember my instructions to you. The Lord Jesus could be standing here and remember, saying to us, remember my words, remember my teaching, remember how I told you to live as my people. He says, return to my teaching, remember my laws. He's saying to us as we end this book of Malachi, spend time with my words. Spend time with my word because it's in my word that you'll know me. Spend time with my word because it's in my word that you'll learn how to live for me. Spend time in my word because it will stop you from drifting from me. So the first thing he says is remember the decrees of the Lord. Then he says remember my messenger. Remember the messenger. Have a look at verse 5. He says, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. Now, without going into all the details of what we've looked at in the book of Malachi, but back in chapter 3, the Lord promised a messenger who would come and prepare people before the day of the Lord, a messenger who would come and turn people back to him because their hearts were drifting, their hearts were turning. And he says in chapter 4, verse 5, he reminds them again, look, this messenger really is coming. And this time he calls him the prophet Elijah. It's all a bit confusing maybe, but that's what he calls him. And it's the same messenger. And the point that I think he's trying to make is don't forget the messenger. Malachi is a messenger. John the Baptist, who this verse is referring to, is a messenger. Jesus himself was a messenger. And actually, throughout the ages since then, the Lord has been sending us messengers. Why? To get us ready for the final day. Don't forget the messenger. He's saying, remember the messenger. Remember that I will send someone who will prepare you, who will turn your hearts. He says, remember my law. Remember the messenger. And above all else, remember the cross of Jesus. Let me just read these final words again. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. As the Lord reminds them about the coming messenger, John the Baptist, he is also reminding them about the coming Jesus. He was coming for them. And he has come for us. And there is no other way to be ready for that great and dreadful day of the Lord that is coming, the last day, than through Jesus. There is no other way to be ready. He is the one who comes to refine his people. He is the one who comes to forgive our sin, to forgive our turning away, and to make us ready for the great and dreadful day of the Lord that is coming. And in many ways, John the Baptist, this Elijah to come, he does get ready for a day of the Lord, doesn't he? He does get ready for a day when the Lord will come and strike the land with a curse. But John the Baptist wasn't preceding the final day, but he was preceding a day in history when the Lord did strike the land with a curse, when he did let this great and dreadful day fall. It was the day that the Lord Jesus was hanging on that cross. If you want to know what the final day will be like, if you want to see the horror and the terror and the gravity of the great and dreadful day that is to come, then there is nowhere else you should look other than the cross. Because at the cross, the great and dreadful day of the Lord that is coming fell early. At the cross, the Lord Jesus was struck with a curse that turned away people deserve. So that all those who look to him, so that all those who fear him, so that all those who throw themselves upon his character of choosing love, will be safe on that coming day. So that all those of us who are looking to Jesus, the Lord can say over us, Nathan, you will be mine. I will spare you because I struck my son in your place with the curse that you deserve. Because the great and dreadful day of the Lord that is coming fell on him, it will not fall on you. In compassion, I will spare you. Remember the cross of our Lord Jesus, because there is no other way that we will be ready for that great and dreadful day of the Lord's. So how does the Lord call his people to respond to a book like Malachi? He calls us to talk with one another. And what do we talk about? We remember the law. We remember the messenger, and above all else, we remember the cross of our Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you tonight for your mercy and your compassion. That as we, by your grace, are those who look to Jesus for forgiveness, will be spared on that last day. Father, we feel the weight of our sin sometimes more than others, and we ask that you would give us a sense of the seriousness of our sin, that we might rejoice more fully in the salvation that Jesus has won for us. Father, that we might see more of the weight that he took at that cross in our place. Father, please forgive us for the times that our hearts have been turned away from you. Please forgive us for those times where we've listened to your weighty warnings and we've rolled over and hit the snooze button. Please help us to respond rightly. Father, even in a time we spend together after church tonight, may we talk rightly about your weighty messages to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.